Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good day, good evening, good morning, good week, good month. This is Bishop Randy Dean, and I'm here with you for another episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe lesser values than love simply slide into the rabbit hole of BS. Bait and switch, or whatever else you want BS to be. We are not alive to BS or manipulate or shame or get people to do what we want to do just out of some kind of manipulation, but we are here to love people and to let love be the main benefit of our living, so that others are on a receiving end. They are the beneficiaries of honest love, real love, love that keeps us from pushing people to do the things we want them to do, and being patient with people when they are trying to find their way to love. Love alone is credible. It is the one beauty of the human existence that keeps us all on track to become productive and beautiful. So that's why I'm here every week with the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. And I do believe that we have so much to learn. I'm convinced in my own life that I must spend my life in a journey, in a pilgrimage, in a mountain climb, in a hike, in that reach for love, that it can be elusive and it can even be painful, but it is always worth the journey. Now, in the last month, I've been offering you Love's Creed, and I want to offer it here again today, and I'll say it through one time in completion, and then I'll offer it to you like I would with marriage couples, wedding couples at the marriage altar. I'll give it to you as a vow. All right, here's Love's Creed as I have written it. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less. Now, that's Love's Creed in total. Now, let me give it to you like I would a vow that I offer at a marriage altar. Here we go. When I say a phrase, then you repeat it. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. That's Love's Creed. It is the creed by which I have chosen to live. I'm going to deepen my love quotient every day of my life for the year 2022. I made it my New Year's resolution, my one and only New Year's resolution, and that is to deepen my quotient of love. I am very careful to say here every time we talk that I am no perfectionist. I'm not a professor of love. I'm a pilgrim. I'm on a journey. I'm reaching for love. I've made my fair share of mistakes. I've left people with deficiencies in love, and we're going to talk about love's deficiencies. I am seeing in my own life how I have let so many days, weeks, months, and even years pass without being completely committed to the concept and the notions of love. I know that I've had a deep appreciation for love, because I know that Jesus said, there's one commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. I know that Jesus said, and by this will all people know, all people will know that folks from the church, that we're his disciples if we have love. See, I've always known that, but I have not always kept myself on that upward climb, that pilgrimage to the top of the peak of love. I do believe that all of us have so many items and outlines and researches to do about love. I do know we are all love deprived experientially. One way or another, we've been deprived of the love we deserve. That's unfortunate. Now, when I talk about God loving us, we've never been on a deprivation scale there, but we have been on an unavailable to it or an unawareness of it. We've been unavailable to the love of God, and that's tragic, and that's what's deformed our life and our emotions and our mental state. I think we've also been ignorant of the love of God. We didn't know the precise beauty of it, and because of that, we've been love deprived. But see, I believe the good news is that the mystery of divine love is aimed at us as surely as the sun rises every morning. As surely as the sun comes up tomorrow morning, the mercies of God will be new all over again. The loving kindness of God is brand new with every sunrise. I absolutely believe, 100% believe, there's no such thing as an overdose of the love of God. To be under the full impact of God's love would transform us moment by moment, day by day. It would just press us upward toward the betterment of our life. It would improve our mood. It would improve our intellect. It would obviously improve our emotions. And it would improve the quality of our lives in ways that I'm not sure most of us have a real full grasp, that the love of God and that aim of the power of the love of God. I want you to see that love as a power that is an adventure waiting to be lived. Now, when I say we've all been experientially love deprived, see, I believe on a certain level that even God has been love deprived. I want you to think about that. Has everyone who's ever been born in human history, has everyone loved God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength? Well, the answer is obvious. No, not everyone has. And yet this has always been the purpose of every human being. Every one of you listening to me, myself, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, we are all on this planet to love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength, and all of our soul. No one day in our life is complete unless we have fulfilled that one commandment, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so it could be said in a maybe experimentally, but especially experientially, that God is love deprived. Now, it doesn't stunt God, not at all, because God is without wrinkle, without shadow. God is perfect. And yet the love deprivation, I'll get it out, the love deprivation that is aimed at God is astronomical. So God remains love. God is love. Love is God. He who dwells in God dwells in love. God cannot be less than love. And yet his deprivation of love is, it's universe in size. So for all of history, there has been a lack on our side of giving that love. And so it's a calling, it's a dare. It's an attraction. It's a power that's calling us toward filling, if you will, the need of God. Now, hear me carefully. I know God has no needs, and yet he has asked for our love. God has set a table before us that we would be lovers of God. And that in that invitation, we have not always been present at the table, have we? We have not always shown up for our appointment to love God. So I'm challenging you here today to raise your sights toward two things. First of all, to understand that there's been a love deprivation even on the divine side of life, that we have left God without the our presence at his dining table. We have left God without showing up with just love. Now, I'm not saying that as a means of shaming, but as a means of observation, so that if God can continue to be nothing but head to toe, soul, body strength. I mean, whatever you can imagine God is. God is love. God is not a tree. God is not a rock. God is not a bird. God is not a star. He is not a planet. God is love. So the love of God does not diminish, but yet the deprivation of love toward God remains. It shouts to me that we are capable of the very same possibilities. You see, every one of us, every last boy and girl, woman and man, has suffered love deprivation in great and small ways. We have all been waiting at the table for somebody to show up at the table, to sit in the chair, and to bring love to our meal. And we've all been deprived of that, haven't we? In some ways, we've walked through terrible, dark days of a divorce where a spouse has failed, or we've failed a spouse, and a divorce was the outcome of that relationship. So now love deprivation is astonishingly real, isn't it? Or perhaps we've lost someone in death, or perhaps someone just radically abandoned us, denied their relationship to us, betrayed even their relationship to us. So on those levels, our love has been deprived. I know many children, oh my goodness, it's difficult for me to even consider this, but the truth is, multiplied millions of children have been deprived of the steady dose and the steady diet of love that should have been their birthright. And it really is their birthright. Many children have been abused or abandoned or given up or thrown away. There's been so much heartache in the formative years of many children. From 0 to 4, I call the most formative years of all. And in those formative years, when there's not been nourishment and cherishing, the closeness of a heartbeat to that child's ear, the closeness of just mom and or dad's words, mom or dad's song, mom or dad's just their musk. You know, how they smell. You know, my dad's passed away back in the late 70s, and here we are all these many years later, and I can still smell my dad's Old Spice. When I smell Old Spice, I know my dad is behind that somewhere. Or just his body odor, which was not offensive, but I just know that was my dad. That's what I'm talking about, love deprivation. If a child is not given a steady diet, a steady and routine connection to that, then there's some level of deprivation, isn't there? So on all of our lives and all of our experiences, we've been on the lacking side of this equation. It's injured us. It's bruised us. It's left us wanting. It's put us in the, you know, I like to liken it to that dance floor when you were in junior high or even grade school. You're sitting on the edge of the dance floor waiting for him or her to look your way or to muster the courage to go to him or her and say, "Would you have this dance with me?" When we've walked away from the kind of cosmic or metaphorical dance floor and we didn't dance with that one soul, that one person that we wish we could have danced with, well, there's love deprivation there. What I'm bringing up here is not just to make us morose, but to give us an awareness that we should start right now, this very minute. I want you to hear me carefully. In this very minute, get on the course of filling your love bucket, giving yourself the opportunity, the privilege of receiving love. I want you to hear me say, I don't know who you are, I don't know what your circumstances are, but I want you to hear me say quite slowly and intentionally, I love you. You are the target in this very moment of my love. It means something to me that you're listening, and in that meaningfulness, I want you to hear my lovingness to say to you, you are loved by me. And so in those words, I'm hoping you're pulling in some emotional oxygen. I'm hoping that you're drawing in some mental health in the atmosphere of your mind of love that just gets into your brain cells, gets into your thought processes. Now, I want to flip this around for a minute and just imagine, give yourself a moment to dream. What would your life be like? what would your emotional state be like? What would your health, your physical health be like if on all levels, at all times, and every day, and in every week, and every month, and every year, if you were completely saturated with genuine, intentional love? Can you imagine how much different you would be today if love was not withheld, but in quite the opposite, love was poured out on you? I think we all have an opportunity to dream a little bit there, don't we? We all have some opportunity to reflect that love could have filled some terrible valleys in our life, and love could have lit up some dark hallways we walked, couldn't it? And if it had done those things, then love would have brought us to a significant beauty, a significant potential that we haven't yet lived. And I'm talking to you now and saying these things to you because while you're listening to me, you're still available for that kind of love to enter your experience and to reclaim where you've been deprived of the beauty of love. We need more love, right? We all need more real love. Gritty, dangerous, wild-eyed, and justice-seeking love. That's a quote from Brené Brown, by the way, not original to me, but I love the sound of that. We need more real love. Gritty, dangerous, wild-eyed, justice-seeking love to give and to receive. We need to be the givers of that. We need to be the receivers of that. Our love deprivations have gone on far too long, haven't they? You see, I'm just one person. I can't speak for any other pastors, bishops, teachers, but I'm one person in my own role and in my own calling, seeking to fill that gap, because I'm so aware of how that gap is so real. I believe that whenever a doctor hasn't given us his or her full attention when we came in, and I don't care how great or small the issue was, if that doctor did not give you their full attention, eye contact and pausing, getting their eyes off their cell phone or off their computer, looking you in the eye, then there's a love deprivation there, isn't there? When we've sought advice from a mentor or a sponsor, and they just kind of short-sheeted us, they gave us a shallow platitude, whenever they just kind of ripped the bumper sticker off their car and handed it to us and said, here, honk if you love Jesus, whatever that platitude or cliche was, you know, then there's love deprivation there. And so I'm suggesting to you that if you've received that kind of mistreatment, just listen to me right now and tell you, I love you and I'm so sorry that happened to you. You did not deserve that. No human deserves that kind of shortage of love. I'm one person calling you to know that there's somebody out there somewhere who needs to connect with you, and you just keep your search up to receive that love. However, let me be quick to add this. While you're searching, be that person. Be that person who gives people their due for eye contact, their due for, give them both of your ears, not just half of one of your ears. Listen with careful kindness and compassion. Understand that you may be hearing somebody talk, maybe in the final day of their life, and they're just looking for somebody that's going to pay attention. I know that there are many of you listening to me right now. You may not be that but desperate, but there is a quiet desperation going on. I think it was C.S. Lewis said one time that most people live in a quiet desperation. They'll live all the days of their life, and they'll go on to the grave with that quiet desperation. And I want you to know that I understand that. And I've been there as one who despaired for real, gritty, dangerous, wild-eyed, justice-seeking love. When there's something in us that says, may love be my life, then that something is life itself. When something in you says, may love be my life, then that is life itself. So as you are searching for someone to risk love toward you, so be it. But while you search, give yourself to a passionate race toward loving others that way. to know that you have given the breath of your living. As we said in Love's Creed, I'm not alive, eating, sleeping, breathing, and resting to gain energy for hate, or not even so much hate as to, I'm not here to regain energy for neglect. I'm here for love alone, to put a beauty before me that is a force field, granting others permission to do the same, granting others that I encounter the opportunity to stand up, to take a deep breath, as we'll do in a moment, and to breathe the love that is theirs, and then to exhale the love that others are desperate for. I've been so aware of how so many negative reactions and so many negative emotions come from people. Road rage is a simple example and very prominent example. When somebody rages on a road because they feel that they've been done wrong, it's an evidence that somewhere in their life there is so much love deprivation that they just can't take one more person neglecting them or rejecting them or cutting them off or giving them reason to slow down when they're in a hurry. And that becomes road rage. But there's a legion of other examples, isn't there? A child in a school classroom, a small fourth grader, second grader, who's misbehaving, who is constantly giving that teacher a fit. That child is screaming for love. That child is absolutely desperate for love. There's a couple examples of that in my life. I remember as a kid in school, I got my report cards early between kindergarten and fourth grade. My report cards were a catalog of Randy's problems. Randy is distracted easily. Randy is always talking out of place. Randy needs to study his spelling. Randy isn't fully present. And I'm going to tell you, between kindergarten and fourth grade, Randy had a lot more problems than were just evidenced in a classroom. I had huge family issues going on. In fact, by the time I was in fifth grade, I landed in a hospital, Milwaukee Children's Hospital, simply because I was starving and physically starving for love. So my report cards reflected Randy's love deprivation. But you know, in fourth grade, I met a teacher who, I remember my mom explaining, and mom and dad explaining to her that I'd been a problem in the previous school that I was in Milwaukee. And Miss Gallagher looked at me and said, "Well, that was then, and this is now." I can't explain it, but I'm going to tell you, a switch went on in my life because I felt like she knew I was sitting there. She knew I was listening to this. She was aware of me, and that made something come alive in me. And from that moment forward, I became a better student. And it was not because she was a great teacher. She was pretty simple. But I'll tell you, she let it be known that she knew I was there. That's one example. Another example I saw on the outside looking in. I'll never forget one day, I think it was sixth grade, and it was just a horribly embarrassing moment for a classmate of mine. And this poor lad was rarely ever in tune with what was happening in the classroom. This poor lad, this young boy, was always on some other page than what the teacher wanted us to be on. And I remember one day the teacher was just exasperated. And she started just intentionally, slowly, but quite determined, walking over toward this lad. Everybody in the classroom turned around to look, because we all thought, oh boy, here it comes. She was within two steps of his desk, and suddenly he wet himself. He urinated all over himself that was dripping off the seat of his desk. It was crushing. Some of the kids in the class laughed. This poor kid absolutely melted inside of himself. The teacher didn't see it until she got right by his desk, and then she saw what was on the floor. What a crushing moment for that child. She helped him to the door and got him out to the nurse's station, and he never showed back up in class that day. I remember that because I look back now as an adult that young lad was terrified. That young lad was so love deprived that it literally physically affected him to that point of extreme embarrassment. Now, do you understand that I don't care if you're in fourth grade or if you're 40 or 50 or 60, 70 or 80, if love deprivation has been your story, then you're showing it in so many ways that you just simply can't control well. And right now, wherever you are sitting, wherever you are in this very moment, I want you to hear just one person, and that's me, say to you carefully, I love you. And better than that, I know that the magnificence and the radiance of God's love is aimed at you right now. I want you to see the kindest eyes that you can imagine and know that those kind eyes belong to God. And God is saying, oh, baby girl, oh, baby boy, I love you. We close each of these episodes of the No BS Bishop Alive to Love with two exercises, and one is breathing. And yes, that is an essential in all of our lives, right? If we're to be really genuinely fully capacitated for being on this planet to love, we got to breathe well. On the count of three, I want you to breathe as deep as you know how to the bottom of your lungs and hold that breath. One, two, three. Breathe in. Hold it. And exhale. Give yourself that exercise every day. For some amount of time. If it's 5 minutes, it'd be the best. But if you can only do it three or four times in a full awareness or your time, just do it. Give yourself the breath of love. The second thing we do, we've already done in a way, and I want you to hear me when I say it's awkward. It's weird when we find somebody and look them in the eye and say, I love you. But it could be the breaking point for somebody. It could be that moment when finally they say, oh, somebody sees me. Thank you. Say it to somebody with eye contact and full intentionality. I love you. Here's love's creed again. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. I'm so honored that you chose to be with us today. It's such a treasure to me that you would come and give me your ear for these 30 minutes. And I want you to know that I believe that as you live on the receiving side of love, your health will get better, your mental state will grow better and more beautifully comfortable. Your spiritual life will definitely improve because love alone is credible. Love alone meets all the human need. Now, I want you to rise from this day and go out running toward everything that is love. And then I want you to go in that same run to run to someone who needs to know love. Now, go out and do something beautiful, folks, because ugly has been done to death. Let's be the lovers of all people. Thank you for being here today. Happy trails.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.